This is the Anaheim Ducks postgame show on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn.
Okay, we're here with our postgame wrap. Steve Carroll, Dan Wood, Josh Crystal will join us in the next segment. The St. Louis Blues defeat the Anaheim Ducks tonight. We're going to go all the way back to the first period, and Dan, you sensed when St. Louis had some early success scoring a couple of goals that it was going to be a tough one tonight to come from behind.
Yeah, the first period was absolutely all St. Louis Blues. They outshot the Ducks 16-5 in the opening 20 minutes, scored twice, and used the same formula to create both goals. It all started with a tremendous forecheck that the Ducks simply were unable to handle. Initially, Nola Charney got the game's first goal when he redirected a long shot from inside the blue line by defenseman Justin Falk. Achari gets his third of the season from Falk and Braden Shen at 12:44. And then just more than 3 minutes later, Pavel Buchnevich scores after the Ducks were unable to clear the puck from in front of their own net. Robert Thomas with a nice little dish to set up Buchnevich, and he snapped it from the slot. Buchnevich's third of the season from Thomas. That's 16:07. That gave the Blues a 2-0 lead. They carried into the locker room at the first intermission.
All right, enough of the horn noise here so we can concentrate. Okay, our play of the game is actually the first goal scored by St. Louis early in the second period. And it's brought to you by PDF Tron. PDF Tron changing the way your business works with documents by giving you the power to automate PDF processing in a secure digital environment. To learn more, visit us at pdftron.com. Let's go, Ducks. Puck kicked free, held in by Jordan Kyrou. Spinning away from Strom. Back in front of the net. A shot, they score! What a pretty passing play that was. Almost every Blues on the ice touch the puck. Buchnevich will get the goal after Thomas set him up. It was a backhand shot up high over Gibson, and the Blues begin the second where they left off in the first and add to their lead. It's 3-0.
Yeah, and given the way the first period went, the Ducks might have felt like they were fortunate and still in the game to be down only 2-0, but the Blues made sure that there were going to be no such illusions with this goal just more than a minute into the second period. The Ducks somehow lost track of Pavel Buchnevich, who was stationed near the left wing corner, and as Robert Thomas got the puck up high, Buchnevich just kind of waltzed toward the front of the net, took the Thomas feed, and then unmolested beat John Gibson with a point-blank backhander. Buchnevich, his fourth goal of the season. Thomas and Kyrou the assists, and the Blues were up 3-0.
And then Braden Shen, really at that time, I thought, put the game out of reach.
Yeah, this was a different kind of goal coming off the rush. Braden Shen from the right-wing circle beats John Gibson, converting a feed from Buchnevich. That made it 4-0 Blues at 4:52.
All right, Cam Fowler gets Anaheim on the board.
Yeah, the Ducks on the power play after Buchnevich had taken a tripping penalty. I beg your pardon, it was Ivan Barbashev, who took the tripping penalty. And Cam Fowler able to convert from the high slot with Troy Terry providing a nice screen in front. Fowler, his first goal of the season, assisted by Adam Henrik at 6:43. That got the Ducks on the board.
Then Torrey Krug came right back. St. Louis got the goal they just gave up.
Yeah, the Blues returning the favor on the power play after Ducks winger Jakob Silverberg had gone off for high sticking. Just a beautiful tic-tac-toe play by the Blues with Torrey Krug scoring from the slot, beating John Gibson high on the glove side. Krug, his fourth of the season from Kyrou and Buchnevich. That made it 5-1 Blues. That is how the second period ended.
In the third, highlight for Anaheim was a goal by Adam Henrik, huh?
Yeah, again, rookie winger Pavel Regenda drew a slashing penalty on Blues defenseman Justin Falk, and the Ducks' power play, which really had looked a lot better of late, though not getting a lot of payoffs, scored it twice tonight. So that is definitely a good sign. Here, Adam Henrik stationed in front of the net, able to redirect a Cam Fowler shot about shoulder high. Henrik with his sixth goal of the season. Fowler and McTavish the assists. That pulled the Ducks within 5-2 at 8:41. But then the Blues put the finishing touches on their 6-2 victory when Robert Thomas converted a 2-on-1 feed from Jordan Kyrou at 15:28. Pavel Buchnevich also picking up an assist on that goal. For Buchnevich, a 2-goal, 3-assist night, his first career 5-point game in the NHL.
Okay, we'll take a break, come back, get a thought from Josh Brewster, from Dan Wood, and yours truly, Steve Carroll, and wrap things up from St. Louis. The Ducks fall to the Blues tonight. And we'll come back with more after this on DuckStream. And, of course, that's powered by TuneIn.
Since 1894, Arrowhead brand 100% mountain spring water has been there for you with a natural, crisp taste. Sourced from springs in and west of the Rockies, refreshing our everyday moments. And now, proudly hydrating the Anaheim Ducks. Arrowhead 100% mountain spring water. We all have difficult times and face challenges. You're not alone. There are things you can do in your daily life to support your healthiest self. Make sure you get enough rest and set a positive mindset for the day ahead. Grab a friend and take some time to get outdoors to breathe fresh air. End your day by jotting down 3 positive things that went well for you. For more resources on ways to build your healthiest self, visit ducks.ocnavigator.org. The OC Navigator is brought to you by the OC Healthcare Agency and the Mental Health Services Act. From the electricity out on the ice to the roar of the crowd in the stands, there's nothing quite like Anaheim Ducks hockey.
Terry backhand scores! Troy Terry!
In this season, you can be there live to cheer them on. As the official ticketing partner of the Anaheim Ducks and the NHL, Ticketmaster has you covered with the largest selection of seats at a wide variety of price points. So get off the couch and get into the stands. Grab great seats to see the Anaheim Ducks today at Ticketmaster.com/Ducks.
Gather all members of the Jedi or First Order when Star Wars Night returns to Honda Center on Tuesday, December 6th versus the Carolina Hurricanes. Those who purchase a Star Wars Night pack will receive a limited edition Mandalorian t-shirt. Packs start at $23. Get your tickets at anaheimducks.com/promopacks.
Steve Carroll, Dan Wood, Josh Brewster. Some final thoughts on this St. Louis win over the Anaheim Ducks. And, boy, oh boy, who wants to go first? Let's let Josh Brewster give his thoughts here. Disappointing effort tonight, Josh. Did you see any positives at all?
Well, you know, it's nice that the Ducks were able to cobble together a good final 20 minutes or so where they really, really took it to St. Louis. But I want to say beware false positives because the Blues were up 5-1. They're basically looking to stifle whatever you want to do and get out of the building. They have more than enough of a lead. So that comes back to the first period. And unfortunately, you know, the Ducks could not get a handle on the strength and skill of the St. Louis Blues. And that's unfortunate. I'm not sure what the prescription is. Look, I know we miss guys like Nathan Beaulieu and Derek Grant and Kevin Shattenkirk, but you know, you gotta be able to handle that. I mean, you really got run over in the first at least 30 minutes of the game at least, and that's a tough one. So don't, you know, assume that the game Monday night is going to start okay because the third period looked better. I think the Ducks really need to take a good hard look at how they're going to play against, quite honestly, a bigger club, a tough club to play against in the Blues.
Josh, I could not agree more. And, you know, we talked on our pregame show about the Ducks needing a good start to try to short-circuit some of the St. Louis momentum built during a 5-game winning streak. And you never know because the Blues dominated this game when it mattered. So chances are nothing would have been different. But the Ducks didn't help themselves right out of the chute when Adam Henrique took a delay of game penalty for inadvertently shooting the puck over the glass just 12 seconds into the game. That gave St. Louis a power play, and though the Blues didn't score, it gave the Blues every opportunity to continue building momentum, and did they ever. So, you know, it's one of those plays. It's really nobody's fault. When a player does that, it's because the puck rolls up on his stick or whatever. There's certainly no intent there. So just a tough break for Adam Henrique and the Ducks. But the Ducks never recovered from that. And then to your point with regard to the size of the Blues, and certainly there is plenty of skill there too, the Ducks need to come up with some kind of response for this Jordan Kyrou, Pavel Buchnevich, Robert Thomas line. They combined tonight for 4 goals and 11 points. And Monday night, the Ducks cannot allow a repeat of that. And as you said, Josh, I don't have all the answers, but somehow the Ducks have to contain that trio.
I want to add one little thing really quick. One thing we were deficient in, there's only two forwards with a block shot tonight. Only two on the Ducks. Lundstrom is one of them, and is it Frank Vetrano's the other. That's not going to cut it. St. Louis forwards blocked a lot more shots than we did, so I can throw that out. And certainly we had enough opportunity to block shots.
Okay. Josh, who's on Duck Calls tonight?
Tonight I've got Mick Kern from SiriusXM, NHL Network Radio. He's always a good guest. Should be a good night. Would love to hear from you, even if you're disappointed. The number is 714-940-2888.
All right. Good luck tonight, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
Thanks so much, Steve.
Okay. So for Dan Wood, Josh Brewster, yours truly, Steve Carroll. I'm like them. Want to see a better effort, maybe a better start to the game, and hopefully we can make it a competitive contest here Monday night, California time, 4:30 with our 30-minute pregame show. And then we have the play-by-play at 5 o'clock. Final game of this three-game road trip. And the Ducks would like to get home, fly home from St. Louis to Southern California with a victory in hand. Want to thank everybody involved with the broadcast tonight. And we're headed to the bus to get back to the hotel. And Ducks hockey tonight brought to you on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn.
You're listening to Live Ducks Audio, and we're here with a hot tip for sports fans. Check out TuneIn. This all-in-one audio platform brings together all the live sports you want. But what if you want to cue up some shows on your time? TuneIn also brings you the sports podcasts you love on demand. Listen to ESPN's full lineup of pods, great shows from CBS Sports, and so much more, all on TuneIn. Plus, because TuneIn's available on all your devices, you're never without something to listen to. Give it a shot. Check out TuneIn today.
The classic hits from yesterday bring you just the right hit of nostalgia. Come on, baby, make it hurt so good. With chart-topping songs that never go out of style. All spinning on TuneIn's classic hit station. We're talking iconic hits from the greats, like Madonna. Elton John, the Master Prince, and so many more. The best part? It's all spinning every day on all your devices on TuneIn's classic hit station. So go grab TuneIn for the best listening.
You love listening to live hockey, but what happens when you've got to hit the road? Whether you're heading to work, hitting the gym, or anywhere else, you can listen to Ducks content on all your devices with TuneIn. That's the all-in-one audio app that brings you top hockey, breaking news, your favorite podcasts, and so much more on all the devices you've got. We're talking smartphones, tablets, laptops, smart speakers, and even in-car entertainment systems. That way, your favorite audio and your favorite sports are never out of reach. Give it a shot. Grab TuneIn to take your audio with you.
Call in and join the program. You're listening to Duck Calls with Josh Brewster.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Duck Calls, your Anaheim Ducks post-game show on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn. I'm your host, Josh Brewster. We're taking your calls, Duck fans, at 714-940-2888. That's 714-940-2888 tonight. Blues 6, Ducks 2. Ouch. The reality is, game-winning goal came at 1:02 of the second period. This game was won early and often by the Blues tonight. Unfortunate. I'm going to give you the statistic of the night in my view. There are only two block shots by the Ducks by forwards tonight. And this was a night when we could have blocked a lot more. It gives you a clue into what the Ducks were up against. They simply were run over by a bigger, club that took charge in the forecheck, and they won this game in the first 30 minutes or so. Really, it was just really something to look forward to Monday, because the Ducks really have to ask themselves, how are you going to handle this club? What are you going to do? Now, I agree, in the third period, the Ducks played much better. And you can say, well, you got to come out of the gate and play that way Monday night. That's true. But remember, when it's 5-1, St. Louis is just looking to clog that neutral zone, get out of the building. So they're ready for you to come at them. This is a tough club. I cannot believe this club lost 8 games in a row, St. Louis Blues, but they did, and now they've won 6 in a row. You know, I'll talk about this with my guest Mick Kern in a little bit, but boy, you've got to give them credit for some of the trades they've made. They made the Ryan O'Reilly trade, which worked out very well for them, even though Tage Thompson is quite a player in Buffalo now. But O'Reilly, Conn Smythe winner and a Stanley Cup. Pavel Buchnevich for Sammy Blais, that's such a lopsided trade, I don't even know what to say about it. Buchnevich had 5 points tonight, earned himself a nice big contract, so did Robert Thomas. You do have to give the Blues credit for picking up some of the guys they have. You talk about Torrey Krug and Justin Falk. Remember, they bid farewell to Alex Pietrangelo. So I was a little stunned when this club lost 8 games in a row. It was just a curiosity to me. As for the Ducks, well, it's another mercy pull for John Gibson, unfortunately. And, you know, it's just the Ducks have to know by now there's only so much he can do for you. And, you know, you have to be able to settle things down, and the Ducks could not settle down the Blues. Now, this is not a critique of the coaching staff, because basically no coach in the NHL is going to do what I'm about to describe. But I did have this thought. Maybe a club in the Ducks' position, when the spigot opens and the shots are flowing and we're not blocking them and we're kind of a fragile club that has a losing record, maybe you take your time out in the first 5-6 minutes of the game. And you say, stop. They had their power play. It's nothing. Stop. Reboot. Think about what maybe we can do. I think, look, the Ducks have some guys. Simon Benoit, give him a lot of credit for getting out there trying to get some hits tonight. I think Max Jones is a tough kid. And, you know, we do have some weight we can throw around. But, you know, it's a tough opponent tonight, and they do bear down on their shots. We did get some power play success tonight, which was really good to see. And one comes off the stick of Cam Fowler. The other one comes off the stick of Cam Fowler, but Adam Henrique gets his goal. 6th goal of the year, 9 points in 8 games. So there's some good things here. But I'll tell you, St. Louis did a good job of shutting down Zegras and Terry. You're just going to need other guys to step up and get it done for you. And the Ducks didn't have it. Really, I think it was confidence shattering, honestly, you know, when you go down 4-0 and, you know, early in the second, you're looking at that. So it's too bad, because, you know, we started to limit the shots against. And in the end, I don't think we gave up too many. We gave up 34 on the night. So let me count the aggregate. That's 47 for them. And I can barely count. 53 for us? 53 for us in the aggregate. But it's 34-32 in total tonight. Actually, excuse me, it's 63 to 47 in the aggregate in favor of us. 63-47. So we had a lot of shot attempts as the game wore on. Now, hopefully you can bottle what we did in the third period and come out and do that in the first period. But again, the Blues are going to come ready. So we'll see what happens Monday. We've had some success in their building over the years, certainly in recent history. But it was not meant to be tonight. They pounced, and they pounced often. Anthony Stolarz goes in after the second period. And then, of course, we have a late-game fight. Sam Carrick and Tyler Tucker, they go at it late in the game. Tucker's a tough kid, but Sam Carrick, he punches above his weight class. So they'll have something to think about, say hello to each other on Monday night. So it's a difficult night tonight for Ducks fans. We slide to 5-12-1 on the season. We did have some power play success. But again, I do think, I am really thinking that the block shots are a barometer. If you only have 2 from forwards, there's something you were not doing right. Because when the shot deluge was on early in the game, and in the first period it was 16-5, you got to figure that you could have cut maybe four or five of those off of the Blues total if you just were smarter in the defensive end and more aggressive in the defensive end. Second period, we outshot them 14-13. In the third period, we outshot them 13-5. Just was not meant to be. Once it was 4-0, you had the sense that things were going sideways a bit tonight. All right, up next on the show, I'm going to take a little break here, and we're going to call my old buddy Mick Kern from Sirius XM NHL Network Radio, and we're going to talk a lot of NHL tonight. There's 15 games tonight. I know Mick was covering the Leafs game tonight, so I don't know if he got to see a lot of the Ducks game, but he's very familiar with the Ducks, obviously. And we're going to go around the whole NHL with Mick Kern, talk Ducks, talk NHL. And I'll talk to you at 714-940-2888. Duck calls on Duck Stream. I'll be right back.
Since 1894, Arrowhead brand 100% Mountain Spring Water has been there for you with a natural, crisp taste. Sourced from springs in and west of the Rockies, refreshing our everyday moments. And now, proudly hydrating the Anaheim Ducks. Arrowhead 100% Mountain Spring Water.
Support comes from UCI Health, home of Orange County's first and only adult bone marrow transplant program with groundbreaking cancer research and world-class treatments. They stop at nothing for a cancer-free future. UCIHealth.org/BMT. Support comes from UCI Health, home of Orange County's first and only adult bone marrow transplant program with groundbreaking cancer research and world-class treatments. They stop at nothing for a cancer-free future. UCIHealth.org/BMT.
Welcome back to Duck Calls on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn. There's nothing quite like seeing a Ducks game live at Honda Center. Let the Ducks make your experience even better by covering your ticket fees. Take advantage of paying no ticket fees throughout November at anaheimducks.com/no fees. anaheimducks.com/no fees. All right, now I'm going to bring up an old friend of the show. This guy's been a friend of the show since day one of the show, and he's always a great guest, Mr. Mick Kern from Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. Mick, how you doing tonight, buddy?
Well, I'm all right. Just got back from the Leafs-Sabres game. It's freezing here in Toronto, so don't tell me how nice it is down in California. I don't want to hear, okay?
Well, my hometown got 6.5 feet of snow, so you're close to a lake up there. I'm sure you guys got a little bit of the action, right?
Not the same way. We're the lake effect snow for all you geography majors. We're on the right side of the lake, so we're spared most of the snow, but we do have the cold. But Ducks, but I'm going to tell you, the Sabres did not look good tonight. That team that got off to such a good start, Josh, they lost their eighth straight tonight. And why they outshot the Leafs, Matt Murray played really well in the Toronto net, and Toronto's kind of a ho-hum game for them. I hate seeing the Sabres not do well. That's a great hockey market. They've been waiting for so long to have a good team, and they teased them early on.
Yeah, they started 7-3, and now they've lost, I believe, 8 in a row. What are you going to do? Hey, look, we're gonna talk about the Leafs. We're going to talk about a very busy night in the NHL here with Mick. And, Mick, since you were covering the Leafs game tonight, we'll just talk generally about the Ducks, but I want to get your take. I know you're familiar enough. You know, it's another night, unfortunately, here where the Ducks – you know, John Gibson is trying to hold down the fort for you, but you're getting shelled early in the game, and unfortunately, the Ducks, this is kind of their lot in life right now. They've recently limited the shot totals and everything, but tonight they played a very big Blues team. And so why don't I just get your take on the Ducks thus far, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, I like Gibson. I'm a fan of his. His numbers won't look good because he's playing with a team that still doesn't know who they're going to be. Look, they're last in the West. I'm not surprised by that. Tonight they played a Blues team that has woken up, that got off to a stumbling start, but now they're actually sitting in a wild card spot as we speak, though the standings are so tenuous that's subject to change. I didn't expect the Ducks to challenge for a playoff spot. I didn't expect them to knock on the door of a wild card like I did, say, in the East with New Jersey, who have overachieved, and Detroit. Those are teams I expect to take those steps forward, maybe even Buffalo. Anaheim, to me, is kind of like San Jose. There's some things that still have to, you still got to hoist it up. You still got to get under that hood and look at stuff. There's so many dynamic young players on this Ducks team that I'm not, I'd rather be Anaheim than San Jose right now. That's small, cold comfort. I get that. I do think there is a light at the end of the tunnel, but you're not there yet. And the worst thing wouldn't be getting more balls in the lottery machine, Josh, and picking up a really good draft pick. People just have to be patient. I know that's hard to hear when you've had so many good teams for so long, but right now you're in a down cycle, and that's just the way it is. Enjoy the young talent. There's some awesome players on this team.
Well, Mick, since you brought it up, why don't you tell me some of the players who do excite you on this club? Everybody's heard from me. Let me start with you. So tell me what, on the positive side of the ledger, in the youth department that you see here in Anaheim.
Well, first of all, it's too bad Jamie Drysdale. I really like him. Liked him in junior. We've interviewed him a couple of times. I just think he's going to have a solid career. The obvious ones, everyone knows Trevor Zegras, and he is supremely talented. He's if he's not a star already, I think you have to have a bit of an establishment with that. He's knocking on that door. Same way Jack Hughes is in New Jersey and players like that. The next wave of players. Troy Terry has got 20 points in 17 games last time I looked. That's not by accident. This is a supremely talented player. Adam Henrique has been he's not young anymore, but he has been a soldier for this team. What I'm curious about is the Klingbergs and guys like that, Shattenkirks. Do they offload these guys to teams that are in playoff positions who want to take a run in, and it would be a shame to get rid of them? I don't have at my fingertips their contract situation, Josh, but that is some of the rumors that if you can unload those gentlemen, which would be a loss, it's for building for the future when the Terrys and Zegerses and the Drysdales will be the cornerstone probably of a very good Ducks team. There are guys on this team I like. Those are probably the three that jump out.
Well, listen, it certainly makes a lot of sense, and with regard to what you're saying, in terms of Klingberg, you know he's on a one-year deal. Kevin Shattenkirk is at the end of his deal this year, so he's a UFA, as is Dmitry Kulikov. So, you ask a good question. Now, I mean, if you're playing meaningful games in February and you're a bubble club, you know, who knows what you do? But if things are going south, it's certainly a legitimate question that you bring up. I think the Ducks will have an opportunity to get well. They played a lot of road games, but it's going to be uphill for this club. And I think that sometimes confidence is a factor with such a young club. We've had an issue with shots against, and we've started to curtail that lately, but you know, you got to be hitting and you got to be blocking shots. And sometimes with a youngish crew, there might be some guys who don't quite get the level of sacrifice, who don't quite get the level of hustle just because they're young. But we will see what happens with the Ducks. Now, I want to turn my attention to the Blues for a second, because, Mick, I've got to look at Doug Armstrong in St. Louis. And I'm looking in the records here. And you really stack them up. They've made some trades that I'm impressed with. Pavel Buchnevich for Sammy Blais. Unfortunately, Sammy Blais has, you know, he's had problems, injury staying in the lineup, etc. Pavel Buchnevich, that's just a landslide victory in the trade market for St. Louis. Ryan O'Reilly, now Tage Thompson is a quality player for the Sabres. He's an up-and-coming star, but Ryan O'Reilly, Conn Smythe winner, Stanley Cup winner. And then you talk about bringing in Justin Falk on trade, and you brought in Torrey Krug, and Braden Schenn. Braden Schenn for Jori Lehterä. There's quite a few home run trades here, Mick, that I think Armstrong has made in the last few years for sure.
Yeah, because he understands the windows now. And, you know, Josh, I think it's something like only one-third of the roster from, well, it'll be 4 years since they won the Cup in 2019, only about a third of the roster remains. It's turned over, but the key players are there. You mentioned them. There are some just blue chippers there, but they're a win-now team. It was disappointing their start, but I kept saying to Blues fans on our show, that's why we play 82 games. I doubt they're going to do what they did in 2019. Last in the league January 2nd and climbed all the way to win 1 point of first and then went on a playoff run, and we know won the Cup over Boston in a pretty good Stanley Cup final. You can't count on that. That's like counting on the lottery for your retirement. I wouldn't advise it. So St. Louis, I'm not surprised they've woken up. And now some might say, well, they played the Ducks, not one of the better teams. You know what? They were losing to teams like that early on. No offense to the Ducks, but good teams beat bad teams. Good teams playing good teams, well, that's a coin flip. Good teams have to beat the teams. And if I say bad teams, that's not an offense to the Ducks or anyone else. Just teams in development. You know what I mean. But I look at that Blues roster. That is a win now. If Binnington gets in a zone, and I think Greiss is a pretty good backup. In fact, has slightly better numbers, but Binnington has better numbers now. Then this is a team that can be very dangerous in the playoffs. And who will he pick up for a playoff run? The Blues are, they seem to have their ship straight. They will be a contender again come mid-April.
Well, let's click over to the game you were covering tonight, the Toronto Maple Leafs against the Buffalo Sabres, and I am most particularly interested in the Leafs at this point. What did you see tonight? I believe, if I'm not mistaken, because I'm watching the Ducks here, but I do see that Mitch Marner got at least an assist tonight, so that means that, or it's two assists, I think, so then he's up to 12-game streak, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Longest in the league, yes, you're correct. Longest streak in the league this season. It's one of the longest in the very long history of the Maple Leafs. Yeah, two assists. He's a dynamic player. He's a bit of a whipping boy around here at times. The former whipping boy for the Maple Leafs is William Nylander. Well, he scored a pair of goals, including a really, really good effort on the second where he out-hustled one of the Sabres and a nifty backhand. And he was the first star of the game, verifiably, like he should have been. And he's no longer in the doghouse with the fans. It was the Leafs had gone 10-5-4, and they 6-1-2 in their last nine, Josh. And that early start that wasn't the greatest, they've kind of quieted the fans who were starting to question things. For a team like the Leafs, you know this as a longtime hockey guy, it was the same thing for Tampa 2 years ago, or 3 years ago now. It was the same thing for Colorado next year. It will be all about the playoffs. All this is just, you know, whatever. Get to the playoffs. You can't take that for granted anymore in a league that's getting closer and closer in competitiveness. Look at the Devils. Look at even Montreal picking up points. Even Philly's picking up points. And Detroit, sure, they're taking points. But Toronto will make the playoffs. It will all be about setting yourself up. Are you healthy enough? How hot are you going in? And do they pick up a player or two? Because everyone's pretty close to the cap. So right now, the Leafs are pretty solid. They played a team that doesn't... The first period, we were saying up in the press box, it looked discombobulated. It looks disjointed. They were waiting for something to happen. And the Sabres, after I was there a couple of nights ago when the Devils were in town, and the Devils pinpoint passing, just excellent play in their zone, in the neutral, everywhere. They're probably standing in line at the concession stand. They're probably doing well. Everything was going right for the Devils, and the Leafs played them hard. It was a great game. This tonight was a lesser game, and the Leafs, I'm not going to say played down to their opposition, but did just enough to win when they had to. And when they did, Matt Murray, who was really good in Pittsburgh, seemed to have lost his game in Ottawa, mainly due to injuries, looked really good again. Second game, I've seen him look really sharp. And that's been a question for the Maple Leafs recently, too. Can they get superior goaltending? We're only a quarter of the way into the season, but so far the early indications are Matt Murray may look like the Matt Murray from Pittsburgh. But you know what, Josh? He's one injury away from being out for 20 games.
Interesting. Well, I'll tell you what, it is Hockey Night in Canada. That was always my favorite show as a kid. I watched it religiously. So let's click on over to the Golden Knights visiting the Edmonton Oilers. Now they're in the second period. It's 2-1 Knights. What I want to talk to you about is there's a guy by the name of Jack Campbell in Edmonton who's had a lot of trouble, and a kid, a rookie by the name of Stuart Skinner, is stepping up. So it's an interesting situation. I think it's a little bit unexpected. Why don't you tell me what you think is happening in Edmonton, in particular in their net? Skinner is in
I'm going to respectfully disagree with you and everybody, but it's only me. I don't mean this personally. I'm told Jack Campbell's one of the nicer guys you can meet, but I've never been a believer in him as a goaltender. I don't think he has any consistency. And I think when he got in Toronto last year, people were talking Vezina for the first half because, you know, people go crazy. We jumped to conclusions. And then the second half, it was, what the heck's going on? And I've already seen that inconsistency in Edmonton. I was surprised they signed him for as long as they did. I don't believe in Jack Campbell as a 1A goaltender. I'm not sure Skinner's a 1A either. But, you know, Edmonton's had iffy goaltending. I was a big Mike Smith fan, but his better days were behind him by the time he wore the oil drop. And it showed painfully at times. I think Toronto's better off with Matt Murray as long as he stays healthy. That's the big wild card, of course. I think he's a superior goaltender. I love for Jack Campbell personally. You know, it's a great story, but I don't believe in him, and I don't know why they signed him for so long.
All right. Now, today, this was earlier this afternoon, A big matchup. It's interesting. For just the second time in NHL history, we had a situation where two players coming off 100-plus point seasons being dealt for each other. And the last time that happened was some guy by the name of Wayne Gretzky, and Jimmy Carson was involved in that deal. Well, today, Matt Tkachuk of Florida goes up against John Huberdeau and Mackenzie Weegar of Calgary. Calgary visits Florida. Tkachuk scores the game-tying goal to make it 4-4, and then the shootout game winner comes from Rasmus Anderson, who's made a lot of noise in Calgary. So these are two clubs that interest me. Obviously, Calgary's out here, out in the West, out in the Pacific. But Florida, you know, I'm always itching to see them take the next step. So let's talk about Calgary and Florida. Give me your take on each of these clubs as they stand right now.
Yeah, watch this game. Love it. And it's a personal one for me because most of my family still lives in Calgary, so I hear about the Flames all the time, Josh. I saw them when I was out there last month, went to the Saddle Dome. Love watching the Flames. They've been underwhelming. They went into this game at 500 with the shootout win. They go to 8-7-2. The Panthers, you could argue, should be playing better. They're only 9-7-2. I'm not too worried. The Panthers will make the playoffs. Because I think the discrepancy is bigger in the West. Right now, as you speak, Calgary's tied for a wild card, but they're not actually in it. But the Flames can play better. They haven't. Tkachuk for Florida has been everything he was for Calgary last year. Huberdeau and crew are still looking for their game. So Calgary is still keeping their head above water, even though those guys haven't really clicked yet. So if you want to look at glass half full, then that's going to happen for the Flames. It was a pretty chippy effort. There are a couple of real fights in this one, folks, like old-fashioned fights and the rest. It looked a bit like a playoff game. For two teams that are in a different conference that really, you know, crossed paths very, even before the schedule changed, crossed paths very barely, probably don't have much of a history. But now there is blood history. There's family history. And they really seem to want to win this for the new guys. And this would make a great Stanley Cup final. I know I'm way ahead of myself. It probably won't happen. But, yeah, I expect more from the Flames, and I expect more from the Panthers. But today was a pretty good game.
Well, look, I'll tell you what. You know, Calgary plays a bit of a heavier game, and that tends to be on, that tends to help you as the playoffs draw near. And then, you know, I'm a big believer in Matt Tkachuk. I think that's a big facelift for the Florida Panthers. I think they'll be a much tougher team to play against. Now, we've got to go to the club du jour in the NHL. You've got to hand it to the New Jersey Devils. It's 12 wins in a row now. 5-1 in Ottawa today. They're now 15-3, and of course, everybody's talking about the season starts with Fire Lindy, and now it's become Sorry Lindy is the new chant. The Devils, you talk about big picks, Heischer and Hughes and all these guys. Now it's starting to bear fruit, and I mean, I'm still surprised by the Devils, Mick, but maybe you can make sense of the Devils to me.
Yeah, I just saw them, as I said, Josh, 2 days ago here in Toronto, and they are fast. I know everybody's fast and get NHL, but Mike Ross and I, who I did shows with for years, who's now the PA voice of the Leafs, we talk in between periods when we're at a game, and he said that they're so fast. I said, yeah, the Devils were impressive. They bought into the defensive system, but they're not your grandfather or grandmother's Devils. They're also fun. We laugh. When's the last time you ever said the Devils were fun to watch? Even when they won the Cup, they were impressive.
Yeah.
But were they fun with Jack Hughes?
No,
and
they were the
who's like a star. Oh,
yeah.
They're fun to watch, Josh. I think one reason is because they take the offensive game more seriously. They will push you. They come at you. So they're 15-3. I never expected that. I was pretty sure they were going to knock on the door for a wild card, maybe even get one. But I didn't think they'd be leading the Metropolitan at this point. And I would love to see if it's sustainable. So far, so good.
Yeah, it's interesting. And, you know, Lindy's won a lot of games. He's won a lot of games. And it's interesting how he handles all the pressure there. Let's talk about a couple of Hall of Fame guys. Our old buddy Greg Wyszynski published a list of all the eligible players, and there are some interesting names. And I'm going to read some names to you, and if one of them pops out as someone who you really think needs to go in the Hall, let me know. Now I'm going to take Henrik Lundqvist off the table. That's a first ballot Hall of Famer. There's no question.
He's going in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alexander Mogilny, 14 years of eligibility. Rod Brindamour, 10 years. Sergei Gonchar, 6. Henrik Zetterberg, 2. Curtis Joseph, 11 years. Keith Tkachuk, Matthew and Brady's father, 9 years of eligibility. And then I can mention Ducks GM Pat Verbeek, Pierre Turgeon, Jeremy Roenick, and Peter Bondra. And by the way, Jeremy Roenick is going to be my guest Monday on Duck Call, so stay tuned for that. There are some names for you there. I don't know if you have another one in mind, but why don't you tell me one who you think needs to be in the Hall, absolutely, hands down.
Okay, they're all good players, all really good players. In their prime, I want them all on my team. But I'm really tough with the Hockey Hall of Fame. I believe it should be the best of the best, and I think they've watered it down over the years. I'm not going to say who, because I believe once you're in, you show class and you just say they're in. Everyone has an opinion. I've talked to a gentleman called Paul Peduti. Look him up online, folks. P-I-D-U-T-T-I. P-I-D-U-T-T-I. He's out of Sudbury, Ontario. He's a young man in his early 20s. He has come up with a formula. We had him on the air the other day, and so did Greg. And so is Jeff Merrick. Everyone has. He's really kind of exploded on the scene, the young man. He's done the math. He's taken the emotion out of it, and he's squashed, and he's come up with a – I won't waste people's time right now. Go to his website. He's come up with a formula for what is the average baseline for a Hall of Famer for by position and era and who should fit. And the one name he came up with, he convinced me on, was Alexander Mogilny, who I love, by the way. I loved him, yeah. But I try to take my bias out of it. His career ended too soon. He got sent down to the minors. It was a numbers game. I am convinced now that Mogilny should be in, which would then complete that whole line of Bure and Fedorov from the Russian line in. But the rest of those guys, Josh, they're all good players. I don't believe any of them are Hall of Fame players. I think we should have a higher standard, and they're in the Hall of Very Good. I know it's the Hall of Fame. It should be called the Hall of Excellence is what it should be called. And I can't put any of those guys in but Mogilny.
Interesting. All right. Very good. Well, I'm gonna agree with you on Alexander Mogilny. I've got a little bit of sentiment for the first defectors and what they went through. I remember seeing Mogilny a couple days after he defected at a bank with a couple people translating for him, and he looked
nice.
he looked like a deer in the headlights, man. And I was like, yeah this ain't easy. And you know, it's interesting. So I always have a soft spot there. He also scored 76 goals in a season, just like our old buddy Tamu. And I would have to say Mogilny certainly deserves it. So what else have I got here tonight on Duck Calls? I wanted to also ask you about the Boston Bruins, because this is a team never needs a rebuild, Mick, never needs a rebuild. And, you know, they have just come flying out of the gate. They played at home again. They won at home again. They beat the Blackhawks tonight 6-1. And you're talking 2 goals for David Pastrnak tonight. He's up to 11 goals. They're getting goals from every angle, and they've got the D, and the Boston Bruins are awfully impressive at 16-2, Mick.
I had them as a playoff team. But, look, they just tied an NHL record for about a home streak of 11 games from the start of the season. Josh, they're such a well-balanced team. Veterans, the middle core, some young guys. They're getting the goaltending. You know that. You have nothing unless your goaltending comes through. It doesn't matter how good your team is. There's multiple examples of that. Boston are the real deal, and I think it's sustainable. And we'll see how they go with some of the older guys. Bergeron coming back was a key to this. You know how good there's a guy going to the Hall of Fame. They're just impressive. They beat a Blackhawks team that's overachieved early on. But again, as I said earlier, the good teams beat the lesser teams. That's what makes you good. That's where you feast. And they did with a 6-1 win, 16-2. Ottawa beat them, and I forget who else beat them, but they're hard to beat. Pastrnak's a star. McAvoy's back now. He had 4 assists today. And they were doing well without him, and now he's back. He's one of the better rear guards in the league. This is just a complete team. As long as the goaltending doesn't collapse on them, there's no indication that suddenly it's going to. They're well coached. They get a bit of a fresh air with a new coach just to change things up, and he's going to kind of loosen the reins a bit. No, they're a dangerous team right now. And I want to – again, Josh, you know this. It's one quarter of the season. Let's have this talk halfway through and see where people stand, but I don't think anything's going to happen to Boston.
All right, Mick, last one real quick for you. The Penguins 3, the Jets nothing today. Connor Hellebuyck takes the loss, but of course he got no goal support tonight. But I got to tell you, I'm high on Connor Hellebuyck right now on his stock. I think he might be back to Vezina contention if the Jets keep it together. What do you think?
Oh, I agree. Boy, there is a lot of good American goaltenders right now. It's a really good part for American goaltenders when we finally get back to some big league international hockey, which we will eventually. Connor had an offseason last year. The Jets have been kind of weird offseason. And then 2 years ago in the bubble, got beat by Montreal. Things just fell apart for a team that probably underachieved. Now, I don't know who Pittsburgh are. We don't have time to get into that. They are just a team that just strikes me as, I don't know who is going to show up. That's a veteran team playing for now. I had them maybe making the playoffs, but I'm not sure. And that's kind of where they stand right now. I think Winnipeg has been a bit of a revelation, but they're kind of back to what they were before, sitting in third in the Central. But as we've talked all show, and folks, you're doing in any show, anyone who dismisses it doesn't know what they're talking about. If you don't have goaltending, you got nothing. And Connor Hellebuyck, when he's on, won the Vezina recently, is one of the better goalies in the league.
All right, and one of the better hockey radio guys on the planet today is Mr. Mick Kern, and you should listen. I tune in every morning at 8 a.m. I listen for 2 hours. Is it 2 hours or 3 hours? 2 hours, and then Boomer comes on, right? So,
absolutely.
Yeah. No,
there it goes, yep.
Well, listen, this is yet another unpaid commercial endorsement of SiriusXM. You should get it. If you're a hockey fan, it's the place to be. And by the way, Mick, I don't know if you caught wind of this, but we are now on Duck Stream, a 24/7 streaming service here. We have nothing but Ducks programming all day long, 24/7 games programming, and of course the beloved show Duck Calls. And yeah, we've got a whole new thing. It's all ours, and it's nothing but 24/7 hockey, Mick, so I'm going to be bugging you regularly this season, okay?
Do it. I'll just say this quickly. Boy, it's changed a lot in the years we've been in this business. You can get content Yes. You couldn't have gotten, you couldn't have received like 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. The ground has really shifted under our feet. All right, well, Mick Kern, always a great guest. And Mick, thank you so much for joining me once again on Duck Calls.
Thank you, Josh. Talk soon.
All right, very good. Folks, let me run through the scores. I know I went through a few of them. I'm going to run through the scores quickly for you because there's some games in progress. Right now, the very hot Seattle Kraken are up 1-0 on the LA Kings. That's in the second with 7:04 left. The Golden Knights and the Oilers are now 2-2 in Edmonton. Rangers and Sharks just getting underway. They just finished the first period, that is, I should say. I mentioned this earlier, Devils 5 at Ottawa 1. Flames 5, Panthers 4 in Florida in a shootout. Penguins 3, Jets nothing. Leafs over the Sabres 5-2. Bruins over the Blackhawks 6-1. Avalanche 4, Capitals nothing. Boy, I don't even know if the Capitals are going anywhere near the playoffs this year. Maybe just too many injuries out of the gate. We will see. Red Wings 6, Blue Jackets 1. Wings are now 9-5-4. Le Canadien, Cole Caulfield scores with 2 seconds left, ties the game. It goes to a shootout. Montreal over the Flyers, 5-4. And the Flyers let them hang around. They were just 2 seconds from victory. Did not work out. All right. The Wild 2, the Hurricanes 1. That's in Minnesota. Dallas 5, Islanders 2. Dallas just keeps rocking and rolling along. They're 11-5-2. They're looking awfully good. And then you've got the Lightning 3, the Predators 2. That's in overtime. And and the overtime game-winning goal is by Steve Stamkos, his 10th. All right, I'm going to get out of here. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your weekend. Stay safe, and I will be talking to you Monday. And guess who we're playing? We're playing the St. Louis Blues again. So I will talk to you then. Thanks so much for listening to Duck Calls on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn, 24/7 Ducks content. Alexis Downey, Kent French, the whole crew. Great stuff. There's even a great interview with Susan Samueli and done by Kent French. It just goes on and on. And folks, it's all free. I'll talk to you Monday. Have a great weekend.
Between live hockey and sports talk, you listen to a lot of audio. We're here to let you know about TuneIn, the app that brings all of your favorite audio together. So whether you're listening to Duck Stream for live hockey action,
drive, score!
Breaking news from the sources you trust,
I think market's overreacting to this,
music for whatever mood you're in, or anything in between, TuneIn is the app that you need. Plus, because it's available on all your devices, you can take it anywhere. So check it out. Grab TuneIn on your computer or on your mobile device. Hear your world with TuneIn.
If you're a real sports fan, and let's be real, since you're listening to this broadcast, you definitely are, then you have to check out TuneIn. The all-in-one audio platform brings all your favorite sports content together in one place. That's live broadcasts like this one, plus local sports talk. But it's way more than that. If you upgrade to TuneIn Premium, you'll get the best audio sports package available. With live play-by-play of every other NHL game and the top college football games.
The double pass here. Back to Hall. Got a bevy of blockers in front of him. Hall with a house call. Touchdown.
ESPN Radio, completely commercial-free.
That you can still wait and take a wait-and-see approach. But when you're 73-9 and when an argument
plus is ad-free music and news just to sweeten the pot. So, are you ready for the ultimate sports audio package? Check out TuneIn Premium now.
The hottest tracks from today's Latin artists make for a soundtrack that boosts your mood and gets you moving. And TuneIn, the all-in-one audio app, brings you a curated selection as part of our exclusive Latin hit station. Hear the best from J Balvin, Ozuna, Becky G, Shakira, and so many more every single day. Plus, you can go commercial-free with TuneIn Premium. So heat up your soundtrack now with Latin hits only on TuneIn.
Hi, I'm a helpful Southern California Honda person, and this is what happened when I called Alejandra with a random act of helpfulness.
I'm asking help for our after-school program. Mm-hmm. We don't really have a lot of materials just for the kids' sports equipment or arts and crafts supplies and things of that nature.
Okay.
We do have a small budget, but it doesn't really cover everything that we need. Mm. It will take a weight out of our shoulders.
Well, that's why we're going to help you get all the things you need for the kids' activities.
Oh, my God. That'd be so helpful this year.
And we're going to pay you for sharing your story on the radio.
Are you guys kidding?
No.
Oh, my God. That'd be amazing. Aww. Thank you so much.
Today, we help lift some teachers' stress. And we can help you, too, with a great deal on a reliable, award-winning Honda. Come in and test drive the all-new and completely redesigned 2023 Honda CR-V and CR-V Hybrid. Visit SoCalHondaDealers.com to find the helpful Honda dealer near you.
On the ice or in the boardroom, winning depends on teamwork and strategy. PDF Tron provides businesses worldwide with tools to process digital documents by increasing efficiency and reducing time spent and money wasted. PDF Tron is changing the way your business works with documents by giving you the power to automate PDF processing in a secure digital environment. Stop sitting in the penalty box filled with paper documents and get out on the ice with high-powered digital document processing. To learn more, visit us at pdftron.com.
Let's go, Ducks!
We all have difficult times and face challenges. You're not alone. There are things you can do in your daily life to support your healthiest self. Make sure you get enough rest and set a positive mindset for the day ahead. Grab a friend and take some time to get outdoors to breathe fresh air. End your day by jotting down three positive things that went well for you. For more resources on ways to build your healthiest self, visit ducks.ocnavigator.org. The OC Navigator is brought to you by the OC Healthcare Agency and the Mental Health Services Act.
Products that keep your business performing at the highest level. Solutions designed to streamline your team's playbook. And the expertise to help your business score big. Pacific Premier Bank, part of your team and the official business bank of the Anaheim Ducks and the Honda Center. Visit bbbi.com. Member FDIC. It doesn't get much better than this.